listening to Channel Radio.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on Channel Radio in association with Biz Radio. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and that's stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello.
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 You right?
Yeah.
You missed my party.
I know. But, you know, Uncle Peter just, he died very suddenly. And
it's
I had
bloody
to go.
Inconvenient of him.
I know. I know. And, well, I'm not going to go into it on this show because it is the Business Bunker, of course, but it was a very sudden brain bleed.
Oh, dear.
And then you know what I'm like. I started asking.
With medical stuff, we could be here for days.
No, I started asking how many jabs he'd had.
Oh, don't go there.
And the family have questioned it, I have to say.
Anyway,
but
I shouldn't have asked, should I?
No.
And it's my own stupid fault.
Yeah, but anyway, happy birthday again.
Thank you.
Yet again.
Yeah.
Have you tried your ginger tea yet?
I haven't tried my ginger tea. I did eat all the licorice in one sitting.
You didn't?
I did.
I hope Amanda's not listening.
Why?
Because,
oh, I see.
I try really hard, Paul Andrews, to get you a sugar-free one, but it's quite hard to find.
Yeah, don't taste the same
anyway. And then I don't want to give you saccharin or
anything. No, it's good.
Gives you a bit of a buzz, doesn't it?
It's good for you. It gives you a good clear out licorice.
Licorice is very, very good for you.
Yeah.
Well, I've got one of... I have the same tea bags that I bought you.
Yeah, well, hold on. You asked me a question and you don't listen to the answer.
Well, go on then. I thought you'd finished.
No, I didn't even start.
Right, start now then.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
Come on, I'll just get my tea bag out and wave it.
Oh, lovely, thank you.
This is what I bought you.
Right, well, I had 4 packets of licorice that you bought me.
In one sitting?
Yeah, well...
Can't you make it last?
No, I ate a bit, and then I ate another bit, and I went, oh, that's nice, and I ate another bit, and then the packet was empty, so I thought, oh, there's 3 more packets, I'll have that.
Did you like the long, thin ones, or the round, wagony wheel ones, or the really sweet, ones?
You know the wagony wheel ones that you normally, you unroll them, while you're eating them?
While you're reading a Beano?
Yeah, I didn't do that.
You just ate the whole thing?
I just ate the whole thing in one chomp.
How are your teeth?
My teeth are fine.
And did you smile at people afterwards and you got black bits in your teeth?
Yeah, that's a bit scary.
I had my smoothie this morning, green smoothie, which I'm back on the wagon because, you know, over the weekend
that'll be the day.
We had bacon and eggs and mushrooms and stuff.
Advance warning to the British drinks industry. Your profits are about to plummet by 30%, Jane. Jules is on the wagon. Oh,
not
you're not on that wagon.
No. Right, just the egg and bacon wagon.
So,
I had my vitamin D. Did you see my mushrooms sunbathing to get their vitamin D back?
Yeah.
On the windowsill, so I had all that over the weekend. And then I made, of course, this morning my little smoothie, which is, if anybody's listening, I'm sure Taisy, 64, the lovely Tracy will want to know. So I put 2 organic carrots, 2 organic apples, most apples are organic anyway, they're Kentish. What else did I put in? Ginger, big knob of ginger. Do you like a big knob of ginger?
Mm-hmm.
Some coconut, organic, a little coconut creamy thing. What else did I put? Oh, spinach, celery, very, very good, and his face. And then I added some cacao and some marine collagen. Cacao apparently very good for the clots, the microclots I'm trying to get rid of. And then I whiz it up with some berries. And it's delicious. You could never eat all that in one sitting, could you?
I wouldn't eat that separately, let alone all together.
My new husband loves it. It's like a staple now.
I have to say, I can't stand things like that at the best of times.
I know you can't.
Even just a straightforward strawberry smoothie would make me ill. But that concoction, you've got no chance.
But then, darling, look at me and look at you.
Yeah, I'm much better, aren't I?
And the carrots are very, very good for your eyes and also for female hormones.
Which I'm desperately in need of.
So my new husband now is mincing about on his surfboard.
Yeah, exactly.
With his female hormones. He has a little break about now where he's... I say you could listen to Neil because we've got lovely Neil O'Hara on later.
We have.
Talking about camping, which we were all wild about, and we're going to hear all about his business. And of course, when you were away, I had the better half of the O'Hara family on, Charlie.
You did indeed, yeah.
She was marvellous.
From Age UK Herne Bay.
Yeah, and Whitstable.
And
I think she spreads out a bit to Swalecliffe and Faversham even.
Mm-hmm.
And she was remarkable. So when I saw Neil, I said...
I did listen to the interview. I listened partially to it live until my phone went flat. I was in France and my phone went flat. So I can only listen to the first bit. But when I got back, I listened to the recording.
I can see the Neil and Charlie show.
Absolutely,
talking about all sorts of things.
Why not?
So, very important question.
Yeah.
Who might our sponsor be?
Well, I'm pleased that you asked that.
Yeah, you're wafting your papers at me.
No, don't tell people that.
You're wafting.
You've got to pretend you remembered.
No, I do remember.
Yeah, well, now you did. Now that everybody thinks that
you were wafting because you were, you know, going into some sort of faint or
I was trying to remind you to ask me who the sponsor was, but you did it just as I wafted.
At your age, people do tend to swoon, don't they?
Is that right? Yeah. The Business Bunker Show is pleased to partner with DG East, their independent new and used vehicle suppliers and services, supplying car and light commercial vehicles, utilising a majority of UK-based leasing operators' services. You can find out all about their services by going to their website, which is www.dgeast.co.uk. And a huge thank you to Terry and the team for supporting the Business Bunker
Show. Well, when you swanked off or swanned off to France, where was your village?
It's swanked a word.
Yeah, I've just made it up.
Yeah.
When you swanned off to France, which village were you in?
Aimée.
Aimée. Mm-hmm. So when you were there in your little, jacuzzi and all that, having your camembert and your reblochon. Terry was my co-presenter.
He was.
Very animal. We tried not to talk about greyhounds too much.
Right.
And Charlie and I were having chats, of course, about her dogs and her horse and her pony and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot what I was going to say now. Something important.
I don't know.
He dragged me out after the show to look at one of his rental cars or hire cars or lease cars.
What did he have?
I don't know, some great big white thing. It was ever so nice. He'll tell you, he's listening in. But it was gorgeous and I've taken lots of videos of it.
Mm.
Then I discussed it with my new husband and it was a no from him.
Right.
Because we've got a really old Honda that's our dog
car. Was it a 4x4 or something?
Oh, yeah, huge. Yeah, I'll send you a picture of it.
Right.
It was lovely and all swanky.
So why didn't Gavin like it?
I think it's a case of money at the moment.
Oh, you had to pay for it?
Yeah. It was, something a month. And we've got a very old... We've got my Merc, which I've paid. So I own the Merc now, my little sports one. And I quite like having paid off something.
Mm.
And then the dog car, which is the Honda CRV, has done 220,000 miles. We've never spent a bean on it. I think the most we've spent is about 800 quid on it.
Yeah, well, you absolutely had to replace a cat converter, didn't you, when somebody nicked it?
Yeah, well, we know who they were.
Yeah, do you?
Travellers down the end of my road. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know. Can't go there. Mm. But, they were... that's the thing.
There's a massive spate of catalytic converters thefts in the US at the moment.
Oh, and in England.
Yeah.
But nothing's really done about it. It's awful. It caused us a load of hassle because the car's so old, the insurance company just wanted to write it off.
Mm.
And we said, no, you can't. And so they've given us some sort of faux catalytic converter. I can't really say it.
You know catalytic converters don't work in the Northern Hemisphere anyway.
I don't know what the Northern Hemisphere is. Is
Northern,
that Canada?
Northern Europe.
Oh, okay. What is Northern? Belgium? Come on, give us a clue. I'm not very good on geography.
Well, yeah. No, France, Belgium, the Low Countries, Scandinavia.
So what happens
Britain,
when you get there?
It just doesn't work effectively.
I don't know. Oh, well, I'm champing at the bit to hear about camping. And what I was going to say was, as I drove in this morning, I thought of lots of intelligent things to talk to you about, but I forgot them all now. But I did see a chili festival on, and I was thinking about what's in season at the moment. So what we should be looking out for is berries on the bushes.
Yeah.
So you've got your black currants just coming in. I think later on we've got the slow berries coming.
My blackberries are out. And that's about 4 weeks early.
Yeah, it is. Well, we've had an amazing summer, haven't
we? Yeah. So I've got a massive crop of blackberries, as you know, because my house is surrounded by blackberries.
Mm, I love them. Bring some in.
I got... we've eaten them.
Oh. The whole lot?
Yeah. At a party on Sunday, Deborah White and Lisa and a few of them went scrumping. They picked my blackberry bushes bare and my plum tree.
Well, I hope they make you some jam.
And my plum tree. They had all the plums.
I would have had all that. Well, you've never really known. Well, we have the best crop ever with our plums, but yours was a lot behind mine.
It was, but this year we've had a massive crop of plums.
Mm.
Really nice ones. Yeah.
I've got the pears coming up now.
Right.
Got three pear trees.
Got a nice pear.
Yeah, I've got a lovely pear.
Yeah.
And we've only got a very small urban garden. Guess what's happening today while I'm here?
You having a shed built?
No.
You having a shed demolished?
No, it's all done. So my little woodland that I'm doing, my garden
Your
is
woodland.
Tiny. Yeah, my good. So we had this
You're planting a tree, aren't you?
Big, yeah, this big 1930s garage we had demolished. It's very exciting. And we've only got a small urban garden. And when we had it taken off, we were going to build a summer cabin, as most people do.
Yeah.
I know Neil's got a lovely big garden, but we don't. So... when we took the thing down, the space was just lovely. And we said, oh, we're not, you know, south facing. So I want to build a little jungle there for seating. And new husband's dug a pond because we had a guy around to do the pond and landscape it all.
What are you on a pond for? You live on the beach.
You've got
the Thames estuary outside your front door. Why do you need a pond?
I want wildlife. I want frogs. I want newts. You don't get them in the sea.
Trust me, you don't.
I do. And anyway, so we had this guy around and he's lovely. I won't mention names. And he can't do it until next March.
Mm.
So the new husband's doing it.
What are you wanting him to do? Dig the pond?
Oh, yeah, new husband's done it. He's done it.
So what do you want this guy to
pictures?
Do? What do you want this guy to do?
I wanted him to dig the pond and then landscape it all, put up this, that and
but
the
Gavin
other.
Did it instead.
Well, I'm not sure about Gavin's landscaping, but we're going to try. But what we've got today is we've got lovely Will, local contractor, who demolished this big 1930s garage. Huge it was. He's coming to dig a hole and we've got a silver birch coming.
That
we bought a whole silver birch.
Big one.
Because it's British. We're looking. You can chirp in, Neil.
Okay.
You don't have to wait for us to ask you things.
If there was anything remotely interesting to talk about, I'm sure he would.
But Neil has got a super garden.
Hold on. She's terrible,
he's
Neil.
He's very countryish. Neil is in the country.
Yeah. But
he'd know about silver birch.
No, I'm just trying to ask you, it's how big this silver birch is that you've bought?
It's £550.
Now, that's the price.
It's £550 big, and right. I couldn't believe new husband said yes.
Is it a sapling, or is it like 5 foot tall, or is it 100 foot tall?
It's
or
quite
what is it?
Big. It's probably as tall as this room.
So about 9 feet.
Yeah. But it's strange. It's sort of cut flat at the top.
Yeah, it would be.
I don't know why. Why would it be?
So I can get it in the lorry.
In the lorry. And then I said to them, so this is near you, Neil, I think. I'm not sure. My geography is terrible. It's it's this lovely garden centre. Come on the road from Ashford near Chilham. What's it called? It's an independent garden.
Chilartem.
Yes. Chilartem. And it's got a strange name like Badger's Hole or Fox Hole.
Well, it used to be one of the Wyvern Group, didn't it? It was Wyvern Canterbury, but now it's called something different.
Bluebird. Yeah. Bluebird or something
like that. It's got a little tea room and in fact I used to take the kids there and they've got a small ostrich. It's not called an ostrich, it's called a
emu,
Aurea or some other name.
Oh right. Where's that then?
It's opposite near Chilham Cars.
No, I know where the garden centre is. Oh. I'm asking you where the ostrich is.
Oh, yeah, it's a different
it's
one.
It's a rhea. Is it a rhea?
Yeah, it could be.
I don't know.
A small ostrich. Anyway, yeah. I called it an ostrich and the man said, no, it's a something like that.
I don't know where this
and
is.
And then they've got little sheep. I'll find out. I'll ask
and it's a garden centre.
It's an amazing garden centre. And there's a lovely lady. So I said...
I'm thinking of the big garden centre on the main road, opposite what used to be the Audi dealer.
Yeah, that's the one I was thinking of. Yeah. I think it's the one near Chilham.
It's got a name like foxes or some animal, Badger's Heel or something.
Right.
It's lovely. And they've got sheep and ducks and all sorts. And I said...
They grow them, do they?
They don't grow them, no. They sort of... I know what they do with them, really. But I said, how much to deliver and to plant if we dig the hole?
Mm.
What about this? I think this is amazing. To Whitstable, 40 quid.
For what? A silver birch?
No, to plant it all and put some soil in it and put your, I don't know, bone chicken broth in it or something.
This is just to turn up and plant the tree.
Yeah, but they've got, that's a man.
I'm trying to pay attention to what you're saying, but you're all over the shop.
No.
Are you talking about Badger's Hole people coming to plant your tree? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Right,
exactly.
Okay.
But I thought that was rather good, because like 40 quid, they've got to, first of all, they've got to dig it up somehow or whatever it's in. I think it's in a big pot. Then they've got to put it in a lorry. Then they've got a man to drive the lorry.
Well, this is what I'm trying to work out. Who's got the tree?
This Badger's
Is that where you bought the tree?
Yeah.
Well, that's the first question I asked you, and you said no. Didn't she, Neil?
No.
I said, is that where you got the tree? And you said no.
Did I?
Yeah.
Look, let's rewind on that.
Yeah, I would. So you bought the tree from them, and they're going to charge you 40 quid to deliver and plant it.
I think
that's really good value.
It is. And my Will is going to just dig with a little digger.
Your Will? You've been a Will?
No, my Will walked down the garage. He was amazing.
Right.
He's lovely. And... but I'm very impressed with my new husband because he gets a bit obsessed, you know, a bit one-tracked. I hope he's not listening. Because what he does is, every morning I wake up now and he's there digging, digging. It's like it's become like an obsession.
Yeah.
And then
he's tunneling out, Jules. That's what he's doing. has he got a vaulting horse in the garden? And does he walk out with baggy trousers and shake them on the beach? Yeah. And then, he's escaping.
And then hide things under the mattress.
Yeah,
you know, sharp things. I made the mistake. He did a lovely one because he did it from the BBC. You know how to do your pond with a little shelf for your, you know, reptiles and things to get out. And I, being a Gemini, said it was deep. You know, but I said, oh, I'd like a deeper one. So that I could perhaps plunge in if ever it gets hot, because we've had the best summer. I thought, well, it would be nice to have a natural pond. And so he's gone mad. It's really deep.
You're going to swim in the pond.
I might.
When it's green.
I might pop in. But anyway, I'm very excited. So next thing is a big fountain, because we've got the Herne Bay Road on the other side, if you remember. Mm-hmm. Neil, I've got a funny story about Neil. So when our teenagers were about 15, 16, we allowed Shay, he might have been older then, to have a party. And, you know, we've got an indoor pool. Mm. So we dragged Neil and Kate round as moral support, you know, adults. Mm. And we had a little Indian. We had chai stop.
Actually, yeah.
Upstairs in our lounge, and then we gradually saw all these teenagers coming through we opened the alleyway for them to come through, you know, our passageway thing, and then it got a little bit out of control. We saw these guys coming in with rucksacks and things, so Neil and Gav went down to sort. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm, I do now, so that you mention it. Yeah.
They got their elbows out and got rid of these oiks that were coming, because you know what it's like on Facebook. You be careful when you're Lucy has a party, because they put it on Facebook and then anyone turns.
We've been there before, don't worry.
Whole rucksacks they had with stuff in.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, yeah, so that's my and I think it's a British tree, and we're also going to plant, because we've got a wall now. You have to come round because you're good at gardening, and we're going to have those espaliers fruits. Do you know what an espalier is?
No.
Of course you do. Look at what I'm doing with my arms.
Yeah.
So against
they're
the
bingo
wall,
wings.
Like this.
Oh, you mean that's the style rather than the actual?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
It's
yeah.
Espalier.
Yeah. Okay.
So if you've got less room, it can be flat against the wall, and then you can pick your little pears off that. An espalier sounds very Francais, doesn't it?
It does.
So and there is an apple tree as well that I want. That in my last house, the BBC did a garden for me years ago. Flying gardener with who's it with? I can't remember. It'll come to me. But a lovely guy anyway. And they gave me a tree that was from Brogdale, and it had three different varieties of apple on one tree. Can you imagine?
Wow.
So they grafted it, or whatever they do. They do a little.
It was a mixed race tree.
It was a mixed race tree.
Okay.
Amazing. So I'd quite like one of those again.
Okay.
I was going to have a eucalyptus, but they get a bit out of hand.
Well, it's koalas. They're the problem, aren't they?
Yeah, they make you sleepy as well.
Yeah. Hey, listen.
Drop bears, they call them.
Is that right?
Yeah, you have to be careful. They drop on your head if you walk by.
Yeah.
Mind you, I've got this Scottish pine tree in the corner, and it's lethal. So we had a little guy build a shed.
Was he drop Scots people on you?
I told you that. So we had this little guy, and he was, what did he call himself? Like a joiner, curb to garden joiner. So he built this lovely shed, little thing, all by hand, completely by hand, and we popped it under our pine tree. And as he was working, these pine cones, huge things, were showering down on his head.
Yeah. Don't want that.
No.
I'll tell you what.
Tunage?
I think it's about time we play some tunage, as the show's nearly over now.
It's exhausting, isn't it, talking to you?
Oh. We didn't get a word in, did we, Neil?
Wayne Cunnington's listening.
Hello, Wayne.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
And he's
my biggest fan, you know.
I know, he loves you. We're starting to warm to you now.
He's warming to me.
He wasn't sure at the beginning.
No, don't blame him.
He's picked me up on the double entendre, which I think was the ginger knob, I reckon.
Yeah, right, okay.
But my husband's got dark curly hair, so that can't be that. And he's written Rhea. R-H-I-A.
He's completely right. Yep, it's a Rhea.
So it's a baby ostrich.
Well, it's not an ostrich. It's an ostrich-like animal that's smaller than an ostrich and bigger than an emu.
Yeah. Have you ever had an ostrich egg?
No. And can I play this tunage?
Okay, all right. I would talk about it while the music's on. Have I got to guess this? Oh, we're all going on a summer holiday, Cliff.
Of course
Richard.
We are.
I love this song.
Well, that's why I picked it.
This is an age of innocence,
all
isn't it?
Going on a
oh, I love it.
It's got a bus rather than a motorhome, but you get the idea.
Oh, I think that's clever. I love Cliff Richard. I mean, it takes you back to an age, doesn't it, where everything was simple.
It does.
You'd just have a stick of licorice and read your Jackie magazine.
Exactly.
Wouldn't you?
Exactly.
We're going where the sun shines brightly. We're going where the sea is blue. We've seen it in the movies. Now let's see if it's true. Everybody has a summer holiday, doing things they always wanted to. So we're going on a summer holiday to make our dreams come true for me and you. We're going where the sun shines brightly. We're going where the sea is blue. We've seen it in the movies. Now let's see if it's true. Everybody has a summer holiday, doing things they always wanted to. So we're going on a summer holiday to make our dreams come true for me and you.
Talis Independent Financial Advisors can help you invest, organise your pensions, and even get you the best possible life insurance, mortgage, or equity release deal. Check out talisifa.com. Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Become part of our community to build your social media habits with workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk to register for 2 free social media workouts every Wednesday. 10:30 a.m. Facebook and 11:30 a.m. LinkedIn.
Loch Associates Group. Let us look after all your people needs so you can focus on growing your business. No long-term tie-ins, just responsive, commercially minded support. Find us at lochassociates.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
This is Channel 2.
Welcome back. That was a bit of old Cliff there.
I it's a time gone by, isn't it? I love Cliff, and you can play that anytime you want, and it makes me feel happy. And the Wayne Cunnington, who's listening in, he says... admirably that it's a rhea, r-h-e-a bird, and it's also known as a nandus, and it's South American ostrich, and they're flightless birds without a keel on their sternum bone. What is a keel? Now we need to know. And they're native to South America, distantly related to the ostrich and emu. So I wonder why they keep them.
I don't know, for the meat possibly.
Well, I had an ostrich egg, as I've told you many times on this show, and it took about a couple of hours to boil. It was huge. Right. And when you eat it, it's a bit like, it's got a grainy texture to it.
Ugh.
Yeah, I had it in a sort of a omelette-y fried egg thing.
Right.
Yes, I mean, it wasn't as nice as it could have been. You know, it wasn't, I'd rather have a normal egg.
Yeah. Cool.
Carry on, I'm just asking my
husband. Oh, can I carry on now?
Yeah, I'm asking him the name of the garden centre. I think it's Badger's Hill or something.
Right, okay. Right, anyway, shall we talk to Neil?
I'd love to talk to
him. That would be a better idea, wouldn't it? Because we're fed up listening to you.
I want to find out all about it.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Business Bunker Show Mr. Neil O'Hara of Getaway Motorhomes. Neil, thank you for joining us on the show. I'm so sorry about her.
Yeah, he's known me a long time, Paul Andrews. It's fine.
I know.
He's quite used to me.
I know.
But usually with alcohol.
Yeah, but he can't get a word in. Look. He's been trying to speak for an hour. Yeah. Welcome, Neil.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. You be quiet, you.
I am a lot. I'm just sipping tea.
So, Neil, Getaway Motorhomes. Mm-hmm. I have to tell you, a couple of years ago, I was desperately trying to hire a motorhome, and I was trying to find places. I came across a lot of places that sold motorhomes, but they didn't hire them.
Yeah.
So what you're doing is a real benefit, and I want to talk about the whole motorhome experience.
Mm-hmm.
But first and foremost, I want to find out what got you into the business in the first place, how long you've been, when you started it, and how you got there.
Yeah. So I started the business in April 21, but it came out of the blue.
Right.
I'd worked in the corporate world for many, many years. I'd been with the previous company 20 years, European business development manager, and a lot of traveling. And I basically had a really bad time. A bit of a breakdown, a bit of a meltdown.
Okay, yeah.
And
I remember you were travelling all the time, weren't you?
Early flights and working with...
So you were basically worn to the ground.
Yeah.
And of course, at that time as well, was the start of the outbreak of the pandemic, which made life even harder.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think that exacerbated.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Try and get that word out. So I had a long time off with them, sick, and then...
How did you get better, do you think? What tools did you use?
I discovered lots of tools. Things like mindfulness was one. Lots of things that I didn't even know of, hadn't heard of, that suddenly came to my awareness. Things like mindfulness.
Mm.
So just being able to actually just, do one thing at a time and be present and all these kind of things that people
when you're charging around the world and working.
Yeah, worrying about things and how are you going to do this and what's going to... And your mind whirring all the time.
Mm.
And just to be able to still it down. So I did yoga, I discovered... Exercise. I got back into exercise, which
because it's really hard when you're traveling to exercise, isn't it? You know,
absolutely.
You're in airports and planes
So all of those things are absolutely crucial for it. So I wasn't sure what I was going to do. I think I parted ways in the January, and I wasn't sure what I was going to do. I had thought about a kind of a side business when I was working of having some sort of little VW campers, because obviously we're super well placed in Canterbury to have people coming over from France that might want to park their car and take off in a little camper van, little VW. I'm pleased I didn't, because knowing what I know now, just the trying to do a normal job and full time job and run something like that would have been very difficult with the maintenance and the running.
Yeah.
So, but that I guess had planted a seed.
Mm.
And when I wasn't sure what to do, I thought, why don't I start a motorhome business?
As you do.
Yeah, as you do. Having never worked for myself before it was a real...
Well, that's fantastic. Our listeners like to hear both sides of a story here as well. They like to hear about what you actually do and motorhomes, and we're going to talk all about that. Mm. But I also like your business journey, because it's something that they can relate to as So I'm fascinated by this decision to start a motorhome rental business. Did you actually own a motorhome at the time?
No.
This is really going for it, isn't it?
I looked at... We kept going and looking and but again, it was that kind of thing. And I guess it... we'll discuss it more throughout this talk today. But we never had the time to actually make full use of it, which is why it's so great to be able to have the opportunity to hire them. Because a lot of people, they will be sitting on the driveway for a lot of the year.
Yeah.
So to actually be able to hire one is actually a lot easier than actually having to make that commitment. So we just never... The time wasn't right. Right from the kids being much younger, looking at ones with bunk beds in the back, and we just never made the leap. However, I'm so pleased we did when we did.
Absolutely. So I'm still fascinated by this start point.
Mm.
Yeah. So you did you did you decide I want to start a motorhome rental business, or did you buy a motorhome and then decide to rent it? Yeah, so it was the rental business idea first.
It was the business. It was driven by the business.
Right. So then you went out and bought a motorhome, presumably.
I bought two.
You bought two, as you do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I went out to buy one.
Yep.
Found a great company who actually, a company called Digi Motorhomes, who actually were hiring, they had a fleet that they hired out,
right,
and they sell and maintain them as well.
Right.
And they were very helpful as well, giving me some of the insight and tips to really help me on my way. So I went to buy one.
Right.
And while I was looking around and securing that one, they said, we have this other one available, and, you know, that might complement. And I kind of went, yeah, you know, if I'm going to
wrap them up, wrap them up, we'll take them away. Were they new or
brand new?
They were brand new.
Brand new.
Because they're not cheap, are they?
No.
All right. I had a motorhome nearly, let's try and work this out, 25, 26 years ago. And I bought it new. I had an Eldis Autostratus. They don't make them anymore. Although
sounds like a cloud.
Yeah, well, there are still a few second-hand ones around on the market. You know, like all these things, they kind of evolve. But the Autostratus I had was a beautiful, beautiful vehicle. It slept five. Had all the. It was probably at the start of the fully equipped motorhomes. Yeah, so we had a shower, toilet, kitchen, and everything in it. Nowadays, when you were coming on the show, I had a quick look at the market, just at new ones, and of course, some of the ones you get now are really well over the top. Have you seen the famous picture of the £1 million motorhome that's got a Ferrari that you park underneath the motorhome?
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Have you seen that, Neil?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. It drives out. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
But I had this Autostratus, and the reason I had it is I owned a motor racing team. Mm. So we used to go away every weekend, or during the season anyway. And we also drove a lot on the continent because we raced a lot in Belgium and Holland and France. We had a fantastic time with it. I eventually part exchanged it for a Porsche, by the way.
Oh, yes, your Porsche is lovely.
The very first Porsche I ever got, I part exchanged for the motorhome. Mm. Yeah.
Well, we've got this inherited Heimer that I sent you the photo of, and it's beautiful. It's like a little snub nose thing.
It's cute.
And it is lovely, and I'm embracing it. And, of course, we did the 500 up to Scotland between the lockdowns when we could, and that was absolutely mind-blowing. Mm. And I wouldn't wild camp. My new husband wanted a wild camp, and I wouldn't, because I feel it's not really very good for the locals. But the freedom you get from camping, and we went to some sites where there were no facilities at all, and they were gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous, you know, right by a river or a lock or something. And so I think a camper van just gives you that freedom, doesn't it, where you can stay somewhere for 3 or 4 days if you want, or you can motor on and just see so much of the country.
Yeah, it's that home from home feeling.
Yeah.
It's just being able to load everything in, all your possessions, and just go from place to place.
Yeah.
I think it's why, you know, for example, the cruises industry is great, in as much as you join a ship, you put everything on, and then it takes you from place to place. You don't have to go back to an airport, fly. It's the same thing with just, okay, you know, close the door. Where are we going to go to next?
Absolutely. I mean, you can go somewhere, and if you go, I don't like it here, or I've done that now, you can go somewhere else.
Yeah.
I was saying off air, about 10, 12 years ago, I took my sons on an epic holiday. We flew to San Francisco, and we hired a big American motorhome.
Winnebago.
It was a big, massive 40-foot Winnebago with 5 bedrooms, and it literally had bedrooms. It had doors, you know. The bedrooms were separate, and it had one of these things where all the sides came out and built a 3-bedroom house whenever you stopped. A brilliant thing. And we drove the entire Pacific Coast High Road, 1,000 miles, the whole of California, and we surfed every beach that we could find. But the interesting thing, and I kind of want to bring this back to how motorhoming works in the UK, because when I had a motorhome, I only went to racetracks, which was fairly obvious. You drive in the racetrack, you park the vehicle, you race, and you sleep overnight and buy your burgers and whatever, and off you went.
Yeah.
When I was in the US, what we did, my eldest son, Jamie, he had a laptop attached to a mobile phone. And while we were driving, we go, where should we go? Santa Monica. Right, can you find a campsite in Santa Monica? While I was driving there, he'd find the address on the web, ring them, have you got a parking spot? And we never failed to find a parking spot anywhere we went. We could find a proper camp where you could plug in. You could, you know, you plug in your electric. You could empty your vitals and all the rest of it. And they were charging like $10 a night, you know, just to do it. It was brilliant.
I've met some lovely campsite owners going on to the other side who have done it also for a lifestyle choice. And they've been in business and corporate worlds. And then they've bought a campsite. And you can just see, I'm sure it's hard work, but beautiful people running the, you know, generally. And we've made some really, really nice friends on these campsites.
So, Neil, from your point of view as a motorhome renter, how is the UK market? Do we have lots of campsites? Is it something there's a shortage of? Is it easy to find?
It really depends on what you're looking for. You know, there are big organisations like the Camping Caravanning Club and the like, and then you've also got the things like Pitch Up, where you can just go on and you can check on availability. So it depends what facilities you're wanting. So if you've got a family and you're wanting swimming pools, then in bank holidays you're probably going to have to book up early. If you're not so fussy, then there will be some sites you know, further afield, or maybe not exactly where you want. You just have to set your radius a little bit further. So, but yes, there's plenty. And I think more people are opening up, people that have land availability, in the same way that things like yurts have exploded and things like that. People are saying, okay, we've got this great little spot of land, let's open it up and allow in some.
So when you let a renter loose on one of your vans, your campers, what do you do? Do you give them the keys and let them whiz off, or do you give them a little tour? Or
I do both. What I do, I've actually recorded a couple of videos for each vehicle that I send them before they actually. So in the week before they actually come to collect it, so I send them that, and that's a tour around the vehicle, and that explains how everything works, how to use it. They can then refer back to that when they're out and about, and then also having seen that, it then opens up any questions that they might have about how to use the thing. So that they then come with their list of questions, and they say, okay, you know, can you just run through this with me again, or how do I do? So that sets the foundation for questions, but. Yeah, a lot of people, you got obviously all ends of the spectrum, people who have been caravanners, a lot of people who are thinking of buying motorhomes, and they hire.
They want to try it.
They try before they buy it, and I think that's great, because even, you know, my two vehicles, and, you know, I am looking to expand, but in the two that I've got, they're so different, and will appeal to different people, and also at different times of year.
I was going to ask about seasonal, because, you know, we haven't managed to take ours out, but I'm thinking maybe October we might. And so what about keeping warm?
Yeah, they're triple insulated.
Are they?
Yeah, super warm, very efficient heating systems of heating, and also for your hot water. So, yeah, showers, everything. So that's all that works fantastically, which makes them all year round. Some people even, you know, look to hire them just to put, you know, Christmas time, additional accommodation. You know, if you've got relatives coming down, put it on your driveway. You've actually got an extra couple of beds and, you know, self-contained unit. So there's lots of things.
I know a lady called Siobhan Daniels who follows me on Twitter. She's an ex-BBC presenter. She lives full-time in a motorhome. And she just drives around the country, parking up wherever she wants, doing whatever she wants. She writes blogs about her experience, which is, so it's kind of her business as well. But she literally does live full time in a motorhome.
What's the guy from EastEnders, Adam?
Adam Bayat. Adam Byatt.
Is that, I haven't watched EastEnders since the days of Ian Ben
Beale,
and Andy.
Ian Beale. Adam Byatt is
Name. He was doing the same thing.
Right, okay.
So he's actually
living in a camper.
Living in a motorhome, a really nice motorhome. He's just driving around the country. I don't know if he's still doing it.
It's a bit like people that live on barges, isn't it?
Yeah.
I've always quite fancied that, living on a
nomadic
long boat.
Absolutely.
You're not restricted to one place, are you?
Ian Beale.
Yeah. So you have two motorhomes that you rent out. Here's an interesting question. If I wanted to rent it To go abroad, is that something I can do, or is that much harder?
It is. So our vehicles can go abroad.
Right.
We do restrict the mileage on that.
Yeah.
Because obviously, it's such a fast car.
It's going to rack the mileage.
Exactly,
out. Exactly.
And we need to be careful that you know the vehicles are used as motorhomes and not used as just
transport.
Transport. Exactly. Yeah. So and most people generally know are using them in the right way. But again, having spoken to other companies that have helped me get set up, I have heard of things, some horror stories like that as well. Well, so.
There's always going to be something, isn't there, that somebody does? They're not difficult things to manage, but you do have to do things in the right way, don't you? And it is possible to make a muck up of things, isn't it?
Or getting onto the autobahn and thinking that you're actually in a sports car.
I think the thing that I found most hairy was the country lanes.
Yeah.
You know, you have to. I mean, my new husband's quite a good driver, but not as good as me. But I did find some of the country lanes where you get stuck and there's a car there and you think, reverse, or will they reverse?
When mine came to a hill, you really noticed it. It really did wheeze trying to go up a hill.
I think the thing with camping, because I had never camped, Gavin had been brought up camping all his life and I had never camped, and I found it quite difficult in the beginning, because I'm not a very contained person. And you're in a smaller environment, but once I got into it, the sense of peace and calm and relaxation and the simplicity of it is wonderful, isn't it? And it makes you slow down. So you sit outside your wagon and you've got your table and chairs and a bottle of wine or whatever. Gav does a mean breakfast with it, and it's just wonderful. And what I also love, because you're going all through the country, places like Rutland, Scotland, all these amazing counties we've got, you can then eat local at all these places. So you can go to the local high street and get your butcher and your baker and try, up in Scotland, I'd never had salmon like that I've had in Scotland. It was amazing. And haggis and all these things. So that is a really good way. Whereas if you're in a hotel, you don't get that local.
Sitting out, in some remote location, and it's no light pollution, and looking up at the stars, and even inside, you can actually just open up the blind, open up the vents, and you can actually be in bed looking out. You've got this portal through to the stars, and it's amazing.
I mean, we've had fun in the most horrible weather as well. You've gone somewhere and it's absolutely chucked it down with rain. But the fact is, you're nice and warm and cozy, and you sit there, you play board games or cards or whatever you want to do, and look out the window, and you go, this looks like it's set for the day. Should we go somewhere else? We'll see if we can go somewhere where it's not raining, so you jump in there. And the motorhome I had, the two front seats, the driver's seat and the passenger seat, swiveled.
Yeah.
So they became armchairs for the rest of the thing.
No, I've got both of my vehicles have seats that swivel, but it only makes sense on one of them. On one of them, it turns it round to additional seats for the dinette. On the other one, the dinette has already got its own seats. So, the weather, you've got the TV and the DVD and it's warm. And so I was saying before about, in terms of different vehicles lend themselves. So the smaller ones, the compact, like for example, I've got one that's got a huge locker on the back. It's got a fixed bed at the back. Not as much space.
What do you mean by a fixed bed?
A bed that's made up.
Oh, yeah. I'd love that. Because ours, we have to pull down from the ceiling. Being quite claustrophobic, my head is sort of on the roof and I find that quite difficult. I'd like a fixed bed.
Yeah, so it's got a fixed bed, a transverse fixed bed across the back, and that means that it's smaller inside. Now, when you've got an active holiday, if you want to, that bed at the back means is you've got this big garage in the back where you can put stand-up paddle boards, or you can put, your canoe, your bikes inside. It's got a bike rack on the back as well. So you can have a much more active one. Then I've got the other one, which has a U-shaped lounge, which gives you more space that, for example, if you are stuck in on a rainy day, you've got more place to actually sit, kick back and read a book and what have you. So different vehicles lend themselves to different times of the year, different activities, obviously how many people are traveling. I think that helps people that, as I mentioned, some people that are wanting to buy their own and actually try before they buy, that they can actually try different configurations to see, because no vehicle is perfect for everyone. Absolutely. All the time.
Yeah.
So there's always compromise in every single vehicle.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the interesting things for me, one of the slight drawbacks, and there aren't many drawbacks, but one of the slight drawbacks is when you go somewhere and you've got a dirty great motorhome and you want to go down a chip shop, finding somewhere to park it while you nip into the chip shop and buy some chips. So you do see a lot of motorhomes that tow things like Fiat 500s behind. They have a tow bar and they tow a small car. I never did that. I used to have a little Yamaha motorbike that was strapped to the back of my motorhome. It wasn't a road legal motorbike, so I used it for driving around a paddock. But a lot of people have an alternative vehicle that they take with them.
Well,
for
electric
that.
Bikes, of course.
Exactly.
I'm not very good on my electric bike.
It's not the end of the world. It can be a little bit difficult, especially in the UK, where we've got very old towns that have narrow streets and not a lot of car parking.
Yeah.
And of course, a lot of car parks have those barriers that stop you going under them. So give us a quick overview, Neil, of the two motorhomes you've got, what the basic configurations are and what the differences are.
Are they English or German?
No, they're Italian. They're both roller team, which I think, having looked around and gone to the shows, I think is a really good compromise between sort of the style of the, because the best of the German ones, the build quality,
the Heimer we've got is still going.
Exactly,
it's amazing.
Exactly.
And there's a whole Heimer thing, so when you're on the road and you see another Heimer,
you'll wave.
Hello, Heimer. That's a motorhome thing, that's not just a Heimer thing. It doesn't matter what you're in. It's a great sort of, they're very stylish inside, but they don't have the build quality of the German ones. But they're beautiful vehicles, I've got the four berth, which has an electric drop down at the front, and it's got a fixed bed at the back. But like I say, it's got this huge garage in the back. So
hang on, what's an electric drop down? Is that
a bed that just comes down from the ceiling at the press of a button?
Right.
So, and then you just take a ladder up to it, and then
which kids love, don't
exactly
they? Going up on a ladder.
Yeah. Well, mine was above the cab.
Yeah.
I had a bed above the cab.
That's what ours is. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then we've got the six berth, which has a U-shaped lounge at the back, which converts into basically a king-size bed, which is perfect for very tall people. Because I have had people say, my husband's 6'4", is he going to be able to sleep in the bed?
Little feet sticking out the window.
Yeah.
Then a sheep comes in the night and gets them.
So that's great. It's got a king-size, and it's also got a normal double bed that comes down from the ceiling at the front. So it's got an electric drop down the front. And then it's got a dinette that makes up into a smaller, up to a double, but that's kind of more for children, more for two sort of children. So it's a six berth, but it actually only has seatbelts for five.
Right.
So it's really more like a five berth.
We took my mum up to Scotland or somewhere, I can't remember, Wales, and she absolutely loved it. She'd never been in a motorhome. She absolutely loved it. And so she sat, while we were driving in the cab, she sat at the back with a lovely table and, she had a glass of wine, and she absolutely loved it,
Getting the kids to sit still and wear seatbelts is a bit of a trial, because they want to run up and down in it.
Yeah. Do you allow animals?
Yes, I do.
A well-behaved dog?
Yes, I do. I think I had to do that, and I think, again, that's another lockdown thing.
Everyone's got a dog.
And what's one of the reasons that people want to have a UK holiday is maybe because they don't want to put their dogs into kennels or let somebody else look after them. More people want to take their pets with them and have their pets on holiday with them and experience the walks and the trips to the seaside. So
let's talk about cost, Paul Andrews. What would it cost? Is it different in different seasons?
Yes. Yeah, I've got three different seasons. So, an off-peak, mid-season and high season. The prices vary. Anything between, so for example, on the six berth, off-peak, it would be 120 a night, going up to 135 and out mid-season, then up to 195 a night for peak season.
And do they get bedding with that, or do they bring their own bedding?
No, we don't. And
bring
again,
your own bedding is better.
Bring your own bedding.
I'd rather that.
I think a lot of people would. And yeah. I think, again, another COVID thing, it was like a case of, you know, one less thing to for everybody
worry about.
To worry about.
Yeah. I really like the sound of the bed that's down all the time. That would suit me. Just have a little nap.
The Winnebago I had in the US actually had bedrooms.
Well, yeah, it would. It's, I mean, huge.
The funniest thing that happened to me in the motorhome, I was stuck in a traffic jam on the M4 going to Castle Combe, just outside Bath, and we'd been there for at least an hour. And we were on the motorway, and there's a knock at the door. And my son opened the door, and there was a woman with a little boy there, and she said, can we use your toilet?
Yeah, I mean, that is one of the things. I've never thought about it that way, but I've always thought, if you do get stuck in traffic,
you've got the loo.
It's marvellous
for a woman of my age.
You can make a cup of tea.
Exactly. Put the TV on.
It is so cool that, you get on the M25 and then you can just pop to the loo or make some tea or whatever.
Fantastic.
But those Winnebagos that, you know, the States, you do see them over here, but you never seem to see them driving on the motorway. They appear at different places. Whether they travel at 3 o'clock in the morning or something, because
they're huge. A bit of a nightmare. There's there's a place, Snetterton. I do everything by racetracks with this because that's where I went. Snetterton in Norfolk is just round the corner from Lakenheath US Air Base.
Oh yeah,
and there's a massive secondhand Winnebago sales place there, because of course a lot of Americans come over. Stationed here, they bring their Winnebagos and then they can't be bothered to take them back, so they sell them. They go, well, of course, they're all left-hand drive for a start, but they're massive, and they are a bit of a pain in this country, because you really actually can't go into town with them, because you'll never get them. The turning circle is, you know, it's just appalling. A lot of the racing community have them, but basically that's just because it's a lot easier. You just rock up at a racetrack, and there's tons of room at a racetrack to park a Winnebago.
Well, ours have been at race events. I've been at either at the British Grand Prix. They were at the Open.
Yeah.
They were at festivals. So all of those kind of things are perfect. But same things, like a lot of these festivals, they have these tiny little tracks down to them.
Yeah.
And how you get a Winnebago or something down there, I do not know.
My youngest son and his mum go to a lot of festivals, and they always hire a motorhome for the festival, but
they don't get trench foot.
Yeah, no, but they don't drive the motorhome company deliver it to the site.
Yeah,
you stay in it, then they come and pick it up and take it away.
That's a great business model. Would you ever do anything like that, Neil?
I think we crossed your
palm with silver, I guess.
It's possibly.
I mean, it's not. Yeah, I don't think there's any.
It's probably not worthwhile.
To be honest, a lot of the people that I hire to. They actually, because a festival is often, an extended weekend. A lot of people take it for a week and actually tag on some additional holidaying either side of it, either on the way up, stop at a few places, or on the way back. We've done that when we've hired ourselves in the past, is to actually, we go to a festival and then go to Snowdonia or whatever.
The last time I went camping, I took my Vitamix with me for the green smoothies.
Oh, yeah.
And I've now got a milk frother, a little tiny milk frother, and so I can do my proper freshly ground.
Wow.
Gavin has to hand ground the coffee beans for me, we've got it all going on. And it's amazing how quickly you can make it just like home, even better in a way.
It's good fun, and if it's something you've never tried, I highly recommend it, especially if you've got young kids, because the kids love it. And you can just do so many different things, can't you? You can have a holiday just over the course of a week where you can go completely different places and experience completely different things.
Quite
often people go on holiday and they go, oh, it's terrible, it rained all week, and we were kind of stuck. With the motorhome, if you go, it's not working for us here, go somewhere else.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, good stuff. Neil, it's been a pleasure talking to you. If people want to find out about hiring a motorhome from you, what's your website?
It's www.getawaymotorhomes, all one word, Dot co.uk.
Fantastic. Do check that out. There
he's
is
on Instagram as well.
Yeah, he's on Instagram and he's now on Twitter because we bullied him into going on Twitter.
We made him.
Progress.
It's a great name, isn't it? Getaway.
It is. It's brilliant.
Exactly what you want
to
do.
There's a link to the website on the radio website as well, and that will stay there forever. So if you didn't get a chance to write that down, just look at Kempis's radio website and you'll find the link there. Neil, thank you so much for sharing that with us, and we wish you continued success with your business. Do stay with us for the rest of the show. But for the moment, Mr. Neil O'Hara of Getaway Motorhomes, thank you.
Thank you very much.
I feel like going away now, don't you?
Yeah, I want to drive one now.
I
want to get my Yorkie out and have a go.
Exactly, and I've got all the deck chairs and little rugs and blankets, and you have a little snifter in the evening. Yeah. I like that. Yeah. Feet on the grass. The other thing I learned with camping was we now always have a pair of little clogs that we keep outside so you don't trample the grass in and out. And
actual clogs?
Yeah, well, not real, okay. Not wooden ones. Right. I think they're Crocs or something.
Croc clogs.
not Dutch. I mean, we're not that bad. Little bit of Edam.
Carved wooden shoes.
Do you know that some hyena, you probably saw this on my Twitter, stole the new husband's Crocs off the beach the other day.
Yeah, I saw that.
So he leaves them by the breaker and goes windsurfing because we've got pebbles.
Yeah.
When he came out, some hyena had stolen his Crocs.
Yeah.
Isn't that awful?
And they definitely hadn't washed away.
No. He's very careful where he leaves them. Yeah. Above the waterline, and he had to walk home barefoot. What's the world coming to?
Not good, is it?
So I bought him some mock Crocs now.
Did you? Yeah. You're so good to him.
Yeah, I know.
Michael Park Surveyors say, we're tuned in to the Business Bunker radio show with Vanilla Webb and Jules Sirkin. We would appreciate a good old shout out, so do consider yourself shouted out. That's Michael Park Surveyors, a commercial property specialist based in Medway, covering the southeast of England. Follow them on Twitter at MPSL.
Yes.
What else we got here? We've got Paragon Drones. They've been very minimalist this week.
Succinct, wasn't it?
They normally send quite a large shout out message about it. This week they've just gone Business Bunker.
But that
will do for me. Big shout out for Paragon Drones. Do give them a follow.
Their website is paragondrones.co.uk, and they are propelling drone services to higher levels through excellence, harmonising drones and businesses by creating value and exceeding expectation.
Construction Expo have said, please join Peter Searle at the Construction Expo Crawley on the 22nd of September at his network and learn discussion table. Peter has helped over 100 businesses since 2015 with their growth plans and other construction issues. He's based in Kent and he's been based here for over 30 years, and the tickets are free.
I've no idea what the date is after bank holiday because it puts you out of sync.
Yeah.
But
it's the 30th. If you want to know.
Thank you for that. There's a Southeast England Women in Enterprise virtual networking, and it's on Wednesday, the 7th of September, 12 to 1 p.m. All details are on kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Fantastic. We're going to join the newsroom early for the simple reason I need the loo.
I could see you jigging.
Yeah, so we'll be back shortly.
Thank you.
Here we go.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.